Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast, by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here with my friend, Bruce McCurdy. At times like this, Bruce, you need a friend.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Feeling pretty bummed out tonight, I got to say.
Was that the worst loss of the year?
It was the worst game of the year. That was the worst game of the year.
Everything about it stunk to high heavens. This is the stunk Grinch podcast. Man, that just was wretched from beginning to end. There was so little to recommend to that game, especially for an Oilers fan.
Yeah. Well, it was 1-1 in the third period. You think, well, that sounds like a tense, exciting game. And you know what? It was boring AF, as the kids like to say.
Kids?
And it was throughout.
Okay, let's do our two good things, two bad things, two numbers podcast, Bruce. Let's go fast so we could just.
We got to move on. We got to burn through the grades tonight too, because I haven't got much to say about this game. You know? If I listen to what my mother told me about, if you haven't got anything good to say, I might have no report at all.
Okay,
but you know me, I'll take my shots. What I saw, what the best thing about that game for me is it is over. It's done. I mean, I still have to write about it, but I don't know. Well, I have to watch the few small handful of scoring chances to review them at some point in the future. But that was just bloody painful to watch. It was St. Louis check, and Edmonton absolutely failing to penetrate anywhere. And I'm sure we'll talk about the power play under bad things, but it was just utterly frustrating. From pretty much beginning to end, we did get a goal from Jesse Puljujärvi.
So that's my good thing.
But yeah, okay, go ahead. Your
turn. Excuse me. My good things are, again, we've done this, I think it's maybe the third game in a row that one of us has brought up the combination of Puljujärvi and Caleb Jones is a good thing. And Bruce, I'll tell you what, when Chris Russell comes back, if they sit Caleb Jones instead of Jason Garrison, I'm going to lose my mind. I won't be able to, because Caleb Jones he can skate. He can make a pass. He's aggressive with the puck. He's okay at defending. What's not to like as opposed to Garrison and Benning? It's just like, oh God, those guys are so slow and they can't make a pass. What can they do? Like having them maybe one guy in a partnership you might get by with, but two of them together, this is part of the reason the Oilers are dying on the vine right now, is that partnership of Garrison and Benning. Whew, anyway, this is supposed to be my good thing. So Caleb Jones was really good, and I'm really enjoying him, and I'm thinking, wow, like it's someone else pointed this out, like a low draft pick making it for the Oilers coming through and becoming a hockey player, like, is that ever refreshing from an Oilers fan? We haven't seen that. Jujhar Kyrus, Kara's the late last one. And he played 98% of a good, really good game. And Jesse Puljujärvi had another fantastic game. I wish we'd seen a lot more of him on the ice. We need to see him on the power play, I think. And we're going to get in. Okay, I'm just going to go right to the power play, my bad thing right now. I can't contain myself, Bruce.
You can't. Yeah, you can't. That's the elephant in the room, David.
Yeah, it's, you know what? They had a second power, like, let's just deal with the second power play first, okay? They started with Ratty, Reeder, Lucic, Benning, and Garrison. That was their general second power play unit. Do you know how many goals in all situations those guys have scored?
Fewer than 10.
Garrison has one. Mm-hmm. Ratty has two. He's the powerhouse. He's the killer. That's they were waiting for Ratty to pound it in. And Benning has one, and Lucic has one. So that's five goals between the five players. That's your second power play unit. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking, putting those guys out there? Why is Milan Lucic on the power play? Who's doing that? Was this kind of some kind of terrible joke? Like, how long could we get away with this before people start, you know, I don't know, diving from the rafters headfirst out of the ice in agony? First, this is not – this is just the second unit. Now, the first unit, again, they don't have a right shot out there except in front of the net, chase on, right? They don't have – they're not – and McDavid's gone back to his. I'm going to sit here way out on the boards and get passes. and not do anything with them. I'm not going to shoot like I was earlier in the year when I was pounding shots on net. I'm just going to sit here way out on the boards and see what happens then, which is nothing. And then there was the worst moment. The worst moment of the game on the power play, where I think it was a Nurse shot. It kind of goes around the boards and Draisaitl, just the laziest. It didn't come right to my stick. I guess maybe I'll deign to wobble over there and get the puck. Meanwhile, St. Louis gobbles it up and goes down on a 2-on-1 and almost scores. That was the laziest moment of Draisaitl's season, and he should be ashamed. He should be ashamed of that moment, Bruce. That was not acceptable for an NHL player. So there you go.
Well, the Oilers mustered 3 shots on 5 power plays tonight. That's 10 minutes with the man advantage. I mean, that's a shots on net rate of 6 per period. And if you had a period of even strength hockey and you only got 6 shots, you wouldn't be very happy with it. You have a half a period of man advantage and you only get 3 shots. That is just nothing short of atrocious. St. Louis had 4 shots on their 1 power play. At the end of the second period, they had 4 shots on the power play to 3 with 1 chance versus 5. I mean, Edmonton just got nothing. You know, the 3 shots they did get, they all did come off Draisaitl's stick. He was the one guy that was actually shooting the puck. No, nobody else even had a shot.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, he is a shooter. I like him. I like Draisaitl. I'm just mad.
They weren't great shots, but one was a pretty good shot. But, I mean, they got... So often the power play, like, it would be half over and you'd say, well, we might as well just get this over with because they're going nowhere. They're just chasing the puck down in their own end over and over and over again.
Nurse has got to shoot more or something. He's useless.
Yeah, well, Nurse played 7.5 minutes of the 10 on the power play, and he was part of the problem, but only part of the problem. I mean, McDavid, and I guess McDavid criticized himself in the post game for his ineffective play on the half wall. And all I can say is, well, good on you, at least for recognizing the obvious, because you had a bad game there. You're a great player, but you didn't create a whole lot tonight, and you're a big part of the problem on the power play.
He totally was. He was in the wrong spot getting the puck consistently. He was not concentrating. If he's going to be on the half wall, if you're going to play the half wall, mm-hmm. you've got to be in shooting position when you get the puck. Not way out there on the boards. And he was
trying to thread the pass after pass through a forest of sticks, and it just wasn't working. St. Louis had the active sticks in the lane, and they had the sticks in the lane that the Oilers didn't have on the one St. Louis power play goal where a cross-ice pass got right through everybody to Tarasenko. Bam. But the Oilers just didn't have the focus.
I mean, there's been a handful of games where that power play has looked fearsome on the Oilers, but it's just been a handful. I think it's actually been masked by the talent of the players all year long. The formation's never been the right formation, Bruce. I've never felt. And I just like, maybe this crisis, will force them to change things up and have a more rational system on the power play. I mean, I was watching Colorado's league best power play. They had the guys on their off wings ready to fire the puck. Why? Because it works.
Yeah, they're 3 for 29 in their last 10 games.
Who's that, the Oilers?
Oilers, 3 out of 29, you know, basically 10% in their last 10 games. And, you know, these last 2 games, I would say point blank, their special teams cost them all the points in the 2 games. Their penalty kill couldn't get it done in Vancouver, and their power play couldn't get it done in Edmonton. And not even close to good enough in either case.
They either need to play Jones running the power play, and I'm not sure if he's the right guy, or play Weidman and bench Garrison. I think Weidman can run a power play. Until Klefbom's back, they don't have anyone else. So I just think they have to go with Weidman. Anyway, all right. What's your bad thing?
My bad thing. I'm going to take some grief for this, but that's fine. I'm going to whine about the schedule again. I do this every year. It seems like there's crappy part of the schedule, and this is where the schedule has caught up to the Oilers. And I think you could say the team is. I mean, they're skating in sand, but there's some reason for it. The last time they had consecutive days off where they could actually run a proper practice on the second day off between games was November 22nd. That was the one full practice they've had since Ken Hitchcock became coach. Since then, they've run 14 games in a row with one day rest or none. And I was looking at this latest streak, especially when the two D-men got injured in Colorado, and thought, boy, Tuesday just can't come soon enough. And now they get 3 days off to prepare for one game. Like, they don't get one extra day. They get 2 extra days off to prepare for one game. And then they get 4 days off after that. Like, they get all the rest and no games to take advantage of it. So it's either feast or famine. It's just pound away at it. And unfortunately, at a certain moment, I mean, these guys are human beings, and they are also, because the team isn't that deep, they're playing the holy crap out of a handful of guys. I mean, Leon Draisaitl has looked miserable the last two games. I got to say, he's had 2 poor games in a row. But you know what? He's had like 12 games in a row where he's played 24 minutes and without any rest time. And that's going to catch up to a guy. I mean, Darnell Nurse, he's played 29. He's averaged over 29 minutes a night, 5 games in the last basically week. Since, you know, it was a week ago tonight that that Klefbom got hurt in Colorado. And Nurse has played 146 minutes from last Monday night, or last Tuesday night till now.
McDavid line's just totally run out of gas. I mean,
I think several of the players have, and the key players, needless to say. So
I think Hitchcock changed up the lineup tonight to try to get a little bit more out of everybody. I didn't like it, though. I really liked that Nugent Hopkins, Kara, Puljujärvi line, and was hoping they'd stay together. I mean, but, you know, he's trying to do what he can. Then you put out the Brodziak, Cassie, and Lucic line, and they just, you just know they're never going to score.
I wrote about Lucic today in hopes that it would shake him out of his slump. Well, he didn't come close to even having a shot on net in this game, and he's now down to 2 goals in 81 games.
They should sit him, Bruce.
81 games.
Against Tampa, a fast team, they should sit Lucic and play it. Just not as a punishment, just because he's the 13th best forward.
They may be sitting Kara instead because of his major penalty. Was it major or match?
I was so kind of in such a foul mood.
Major.
I was in such a foul mood then that I just wanted to see the whole world burn down. So I was okay. You know, I was okay at that moment with that atrocity. That was really a terrible cross check. But he did. It was totally provoked, though.
Took one in the side of the head and he gave it back. But the one he took kind of bounced off his shoulder pad. The one he gave back was sort of, he got him clean in the side of the head, except for clean is not a word that should be associated with that cross check.
You get hit in the head like that, and you can lose it, right?
He did, and he lost it. He's going to pay the price, and I mean, he paid an immediate price of 5 minutes in the box, go to the showers, and of course, St. Louis scored the clincher on the power play. So all the good that Kara had done up to that point, which was set up the one Oilers goal, hit the post, and have a really good chance seconds before the phantom goal that turned the game in St. Louis' favor. But that one mistake is going to be the dominant thing of his night. Now, my question is, why isn't Kara ever on the power play? You know, he's got 8 points in his last 10 games. Actually, 9. He got robbed out of one in Colorado. And most of them have been like primary points, either the goal or first assist. I mean, he's passing the puck to the goal scorer in the slot, and he's done it consistently this
last. Well, how about have a second power play of Kara, Puljujärvi, and Nugent Hopkins? Yeah, I mean, would that be such a shock?
Try an actual line, yeah.
You know, go with the McDavid line, top power play, then put up the Nugent Hopkins line. Like,
I've heard worse ideas than that, David.
Yeah, just pop. Anyway, so Bruce, my number is 180. That's 180 minutes that we will never get back. None of us will ever get those minutes back from watching that game. We could, I've been watching this series on Netflix. What's it called? The Last Kingdom, I think. It's actually pretty good, and I recommend it. Mm-hmm. And I could have been watching that, could have been enjoying myself. And I sat there and I just suffered through that game. And so and I didn't even buy a ticket, right? Like, I felt sorry for the fans who paid money for that gong show. And the biggest gong of all, of course, I think. And I know the puck, I think, did go on the net, but that should have been blown dead. Was that not under his pad? Like, it's this dead play. Like, isn't that one of those things where the ref should have said, yeah, maybe I didn't blow it dead in time, but. Yeah, I missed two. Like, that's not a goal.
Yeah, I mean, they called it no
goal. Jam the goalie in the net.
Jam the goalie. I don't know. I'm not even upset about it because, as far as I'm concerned, the Oilers got their just desserts tonight. They deserved the regulation loss, and they got it. So, you know, you want to say, well, this goalpost here or that call there or what have you. The better team won this game. When you can say that, then you don't have too many complaints about the specifics. And St. Louis was easily the better team. I thought they were the better team in all three periods.
I am struck dumb by your McCurdian logic on that one, Bruce. You nailed it. That the Oilers just stunk, and they deserve to lose that game. What's your number?
My number is 65-26, and that is the combined shots on goal in the third periods of those five games previously referenced since Klefbom went down in Colorado, and they were outshot 16-4 in Colorado, 17-2 in Winnipeg, 13-7 by Philly. And then they got 8-8 in Vancouver when Oilers were behind and should have been pressing the play, but weren't. And then tonight, 11-6 for St. Louis. So they've got no offense and no defense in the third period. They're just gonna, I mean, that's an average of 13 shots to five against. And in actual goals, it's 10 to three, 10 allowed goals in the third periods. Mind you, some empty netters in there, but the Oilers' empty net strategy, that could be my bad thing.
It's just like clockwork.
You can bet on it.
It's going to happen. It's
coming. 7 seconds tonight.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they've got to bench one of Garrison or Benning, Bruce. They cannot play both those guys together. And I don't know. You know, Hitchcock is, of course, figuring out his lineup right now and what works and doesn't work. And I hope it's occurring to him. That does not work. Not even close to work.
He's thankful he's finally got his day off. And I would imagine tomorrow is probably a mandated day off and they need it. I hope they spend the whole day asleep. Then Wednesday or Thursday, Friday, they have two clear practice days to get ready for that one game against the toughest team in the league. But you lose that game and you go into Christmas on a 3-game losing streak and a downer and you've lost most of the momentum of the Hitchcock era.
So they're 18-17?
18-17 with Tampa on the slate. And so that's a big game, but they should be a lot more ready. I'd be very surprised if they don't come out flying on Saturday night because they finally will have a chance to A, practice, B, rest. Actually, turn that around. A, rest, B, practice, and hopefully get their shit together on special teams better than they've had it this last while.
Cassian on the penalty kill again. Like, I don't know. Like, I just seen too many cross teams last year. Every time I see one this year with Cassian out there, it just makes me. Ugh.
That's exactly what happened. He went from the left side to the right side, and then he didn't cut out the pass, and then it went back to the side he'd been on, and the guy was all alone. Just Tarasenko, you know, nobody dangerous.
Larson blew that too. He got beat on the boards. He was over. Larson can be too aggressive on the PK heading into the boards, I've noticed. Instead of just taking it easy.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's over.
It's over. Yeah, it's all over.
And I can go watch The Last Kingdom now, Bruce.
And I can go write my game grades and look forward to checking out your scoring chance summary. So the game's over for you. For me,
sorry, Bruce.
Two painful hours left to go. But I think grades are going to be pretty terse tonight.
Just do it in third. Just here's your discipline for tonight. Here's my assignment to you.
Okay.
Write the players' names down, and then just write one sentence about each guy as quickly as you can, and that's it. Okay. You're done. Okay?
No stats?
No stats. Just one sentence summing up his game.
Wow. Okay.
High Evans. Made one good play. That's it. You know, that kind of thing. Didn't, you know, at least he cross-checked that goof in the head, you know, for Kara. You can write that, but, you know, whatever you want. But just that.
I have the shortest list of notes for this game I've had all year because there just wasn't much noteworthy going on out there. And I don't think it was just me being in a foul mood. I just think, I was in a foul mood, but because the game wasn't fit to watch.
And I think if some of your comments are just one word, like, that's good, too. That works. So
stunk.
Exactly. Yeah. Talbot will be a hard one because he actually kept them in the game, but then he let in some. Anyway, let's not keep going on about this. All right. Thanks, Talbot, Bruce, for talking.
Maroon and Perron just to add insult to injury. Eh?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Thanks for talking tonight, Bruce.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hang in there. Times will get better than this.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.